Welcome back to The Word at Work. This is the podcast for Christian professionals where we dig into conversations to support you in thriving professionally and of greatest importance, living biblically. I'm your host, Miranda Carles, and today we are welcoming Art Rayner to the podcast. Art is on a mission to help men and women discover God's design for them and their money. He's written several books and numerous articles that discuss debt elimination, savings, retirement, building wealth, and income, because he wants to see others become financially healthy and not just for the sake of financial health. Let's dig into this conversation with Art Rayner. Art, so good to have you joining us today.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I mentioned before we hit record, and listeners will recall that we had your dad, Tom Rayner, on several months ago and had just the best conversation about evangelism. He also gushed about his grandchildren and his family. And now I know that three of the boys, are your kids and come from your household.
Yeah. We have three boys, ages. They're all fall birthdays. So I want to make sure that I get this correct. But ages 13, so we had one that just turned 13, 9, one that's about to turn 10, and then 7, one that just turned 7. And so they are incredible boys. I've been blessed with three amazingly active boys. Mm-hmm. So needless to say, our house is, it just has a lot of marks on the walls. It has some holes. It smells funny at times, but they're incredible boys.
Yep. That's awesome. Yeah. We were talking about that a little bit before hitting record, and I've got my three just about a year staggered behind all of yours. Totally empathize with the marks on the wall. I always say we'll repaint in a few years, maybe. Wouldn't do much good now.
We used to try to paint over the stuff, but then we just gave up. Like, okay, we're going to wait until they get out of the house, and then we may, start to put some more paint on the walls.
Yeah. And for now, it just adds character, right? That's what I tell myself.
It's a well-loved house.
Yes, yeah. Well, that's a little bit about your family. Would love to hear, what's your backstory with what you do now? Why do you have this interest in supporting Christians with their finances?
Well, just to be, direct, God has just wired me to be passionate about helping people, and you've already mentioned it, discover and pursue God's design for money. I believe that God has a very clear plan for the resources that he's entrusted to us. Unfortunately, many people are struggling with debt. Maybe they don't know how to manage their money well. Maybe nobody taught them how to do it. And so they're limited in their ability to pursue after his design for money. And so I want to see people get financially healthy, but not just for the sake of financial health. It's a great thing, and I talk about it all the time, but it's always because it's a means to a much greater end. And that is to find ourselves in a place where we can say yes more instead of not yet when it comes to living and giving more generously. Which, when you look at the scriptures, you see that's why God has entrusted us with these resources to begin with, that he has given us these resources so that then we can leverage them for the advancement of his kingdom. We have an amazing opportunity as American believers in this generation to leverage our resources in a way that we literally have the resources to reach every tongue, tribe, and nation, which if I were to say, what is the motivation? That's it, is that we just have an amazing opportunity that God has given us. And I just don't want us to waste it. I don't want future generations of Christians to look back on us and say, what were they thinking? They had all these resources, and they could have gotten the gospel out to every tongue, tribe, and nation. Why didn't they do that? So I want to at least, give it a go. Let's at least try to get people financially healthy so that they can do that better.
Yeah, that's good. I love that. Being able to say yes more, just that concept of being good stewards, not wasting that. Well, as you know, this is a podcast for Christian professionals. So we talk a lot about workplace topics. There's a clear tie there. There's that quote, though, people say, what is it? Find something that you love to do and you'll never work a day in your life. I think that's a really silly quote. Uh-huh. all jobs are work. No job is fun every day. I love what I do, but it's work. And if you are listening and you've found a job that's like 100% sunshine and rainbows and no headaches any of the time, please reach out. Let's talk. You know, everyone would love to know,
Yep.
But in all seriousness, I hope most people listening in have found a job where they enjoy it and they're able to use their God-given skills well, but work can be hard. It's toil. That's why we call it work. So even when finding a job that we love, most would say that the primary reason or one of the primary reasons they work is to earn a paycheck. So how can that paycheck, the money that we earn as part of our hard work, be viewed as part of God's mission, as you say?
Well, James, the book of James is very clear right there at the beginning that all good gifts come from God. Mm-hmm. And a paycheck is certainly a good gift from God. When you look at the parable of the talents, you see our identity as it relates to money. So we are the managers of the resources. God is the owner of the resources, and he has entrusted to us these dollars, if they come from your paycheck, for the advancement of his kingdom. We see that in the parable of the talents. You know, who was celebrated, which servants were celebrated? It were those that had increased the master's wealth. They had expanded his kingdom. And so that gives us direction on how we are to leverage the resources that God has entrusted to us. I think that it's important at this point to note that possession does not equal ownership. We can possess something, but not necessarily own it. Just as an example, my very first job was when I was 15. Like my first real job where I got a real mm-hmm. paycheck was when I was 15, and I worked at a place called The Park in Louisville, Kentucky. And it still is a go-kart / golf course place, right? Mm-hmm. And my job was to oversee the go-karts, or when I say oversee, that's probably too strong of a word, but it was to work with the go-karts. I was the person that got the people in and out of the go-karts. Mm-hmm. By the end of the summer, I knew everything there was to know about those go-karts. I knew which one's fastest, and if I liked you, you're going in that one. I knew which one was slowest, and if I didn't like you, you're probably going in that one. I knew which one was likely to have engine trouble by the end of the day, and so if it was getting later in the day and you were giving me problems, you were definitely going in that one. I knew everything there was to know about those go-karts. But at any point, did those go-karts become my go-karts? No. They were the owner's go-karts, right? And I was there to simply just to carry out his plan and purpose for those go-karts. It's the same thing with our finances. When we receive a paycheck, when the income hits the bank account, those are not our resources. Those are God's resources. And I believe that if we get that one part right, that if we stop looking at the bank account as our bank account balance, mm-hmm. and start looking at it as God's bank account balance, and stop asking the question, what do I want to do with it? And start asking the question, what does God want me to do with it? Mm-hmm. That can change everything. And so as it relates to income and receiving your paycheck, that's the very first thing that I would tell anybody. It's like, you know what? Make sure that you have the right identity, that you recognize who you are and who God is, and that the relationship between you and that paycheck, because that will determine the decisions that you make.
Yeah. I love that. I wrote down possession does not equal ownership. So we forget that, right? We become like the pelicans or the birds in Finding Nemo, the little mine.
Yeah.
yeah. We really can have that mindset, I think, even as Christians, because we see that clear cause and effect. I went and I worked my job and then I get this paycheck. And we forget that every ounce of what we have been given comes from our Father to steward while we're here. So such good reminders. Are there any other common barriers, especially around mindset, that you see Christians face as they seek to see their money as God's money and trust God with their finances?
Yeah. Oftentimes, money issues are heart issues. It's why Jesus talked about it more than any other topic while he was here on earth. It's why God wove over 2,000 verses on money, possession, stewardship throughout the scripture. It's not that he's trying to increase his heavenly bank account. It's that he wants to help us understand that our money management is a reflection of our heart management. And so as it relates to how we manage the income that hits our bank account from our jobs, it's important to understand that you know, God has a plan and a purpose for those resources. And oftentimes we use those resources for ways that reflect that demonstrate that we have a misplaced hope. That's a probably a better way of explaining it, that we have put our hope in something other than him. And they're trying to find our contentment in something other than him. They were trying to find our contentment, our hope in material possessions, maybe climbing that next rung on the corporate ladder. So we do that. And oftentimes what happens is that, let's say we get that next job, or, you know, we get that car, we get that big house, or we hit that balance in our 401k account. And we think that, okay, that will satisfy, that will bring me contentment if I can just get there. And we work hard to get there. And then we get there. And then what happens? Well, we may be satisfied for a brief moment, but soon after, we find ourselves discontent once again, chasing after something else. Again, that rung on the ladder is never it for us. There's always another one. The house is never it. There's always another one. Car depreciates, starts to not look so great anymore. There's another car that we start to chase after. I mean, it's this vicious cycle that our heart wasn't designed to endure. Our hearts were not designed to be filled and satisfied with stuff, but it's designed to be fulfilled and satisfied with Christ. And so what we see a lot as far as a lot of the financial issues are a result of heart issues. So debt, let's use debt as an example. Debt is often a result of a heart that is seeking to find hope, satisfaction, fulfillment in stuff. Now, I want to acknowledge that some situations that lead to debt are completely out of a person's control. I completely understand that. But more often than not, it's the result of trying to maybe go on a vacation that costs too much. Maybe buying a car that's too expensive. Maybe getting a home that's too expensive. Buying clothes that are outside of our budget. And it's because we're thinking that this stuff will bring satisfaction and fulfillment, but it doesn't. But what it does bring is financial ruin for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our culture feeds that too. You can see that. And just looking around, there's always, it's not just that this is mine, but it's how can I get more? Those are the two things that we can all relate to. And I think we've all been there too. You know, if I just get this next promotion, then my income will go up X amount, and then our family will be able to do this and that. And, but ultimately, to your point, so unsatisfying,
or
in the end,
with that next bump in income, that next hopeful promotion, people presume on the future and they start making decisions, assuming that their income will go up. I see a lot of that where a person is like, look, I think I'm going to get this next promotion, or I think I'm going to get this next bonus. And so therefore I'm going to make a decision that presumes on that happening in the future. But then what happens? Well, that reality is not realized. And maybe it ends up turning out in a dramatically different way. Maybe instead of getting a promotion, the company decides to cut back and your job is lost. I've seen that happen several times to people, and they made decisions though that presumed on that job and on that pay raise. And now, not only did they not get the pay raise or that job, they are without a job and they find themselves in a dramatically difficult place.
Yeah. Then on the other end of that, you know, if we do get that higher income or that promotion, I've also seen a few examples of people who that opens up like more giving, or,
yes,
oh, now my, you know, now my wife can stay home. I've, you know, seen men that now my wife can stay home and they might start taking in foster kids or so, you know, so you can see it's all about that stewardship concept. Like, am I using this more that God has given me to get more or increase like quality standard of living in my own household, or seeing that as increased capacity to steward for God and for the kingdom?
Yeah, absolutely. Getting a bonus, getting a pay raise is an amazing opportunity to increase the financial margin in your life, so that you can be more flexible with your generosity, with some of your life decisions. Like you said, bringing in foster kids, using those resources, not to increase your standard of living, but using your those resources to increase your ability to live and give more generously.
Yeah, that's good. Well, kind of relatedly, there are these two concepts that can sometimes feel at odds. And you've talked about like the practical financial planning piece. We've talked about the spiritual and the stewardship piece. So we know the value of budgeting and saving and being responsible in that way. And we also know the value of living generously. How can we balance those two things? Because I'm sure some people might see those as being at odds in some situations. Tell me your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's a great question. And fortunately, the Bible speaks to this, so I don't necessarily have to give you the Art Rainer answer, but we can just look at the scripture and see how it guides us in this area. So, so the Bible is clear that generosity is our priority. Like that, that is our biblical financial priority. It is the foundation for real biblical financial health. If you're not giving, then from a biblical standpoint, you're not really financially healthy. So it starts with generosity. Now, what does generosity look like? According to the scriptures, generosity is a priority, means that you're supposed to give your first and your best. You see that in Proverbs 3:9 and other areas. Giving is to be done proportionally, meaning that as we, as our maybe pay increases, then our giving should increase. So we give according to what God has given to us. You see that in Malachi 3:10 and in other places. And it's not just about a 10%. You hear that word tithe a lot. It's 10%. But what we see in scripture is actually giving that goes way beyond that 10%. In fact, you see that in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. When you look at the Israelites, the commands that they were given actually meant that sometimes in a year, they're giving away a third of their produce. That's their portion that they were to give. In the New Testament, man, you see generosity be done. It's done lavishly. I mean, you see the examples that we're given. You know, the widow who gave two coins, she gave all that she had. The Macedonians were giving out of their poverty. So giving is to be done proportionally. It's also to be done sacrificially. You see that in 2 Samuel 24:24. And then giving is to be done cheerfully. God doesn't want a bunch of grumpy givers. If he's not looking for these reluctant givers, he wants people to give out of the overflow of their heart, out of the recognition that God has given them something amazing. So therefore, they're going to give to others as well. And so giving is to be a priority. That's the first thing that we do. And then the Bible also does tell us that savings is a wise thing to do, that we are to save for future needs. You see that all throughout Proverbs, where it says, hey, you need to take advantage of seasons of abundance. And I would say as we're working in our work years, that's a season of abundance for us to prepare for seasons of scarcity. Maybe, you know, when you lose a job or maybe during your retirement years. Yeah. And so saving for the future is a wise thing to do. So you give generously, then you save wisely. Then after that, you live appropriately, which you're looking at the rest of your resources and saying, okay, what are the needs that I have? What are maybe some of the wants that I have that are within reason? And obviously you approach that prayerfully. It's not going to look the same for everyone. My budget isn't necessarily going to look the same as your budget. But we're going to approach the budgeting process very prayerfully and just looking at our expenses and saying, okay, what does God want us to do with the rest here? How can we even use some of our spending for the advancement of his kingdom? Like, how can we leverage that for him? And so scripture talks about that. Does it provide you a perfect formula? No. But that's why we need to approach it prayerfully. But there's that pattern that you see. Give first, save, and then live on the rest.
Isn't it C.S. Lewis that said, I think he says something like, each person ought give more than they can stand or more than they can bear.
Yeah.
What is Art a first step? So if someone's listening in and they want to get started with being faithful, more faithful in their stewardship of finances and what God has entrusted them, what would you recommend as just a first step to get started?
Yeah, it's a great, great question. So I would first make sure that you understand God's plan and that you trust in him. Generosity, first of all, is an act of trust more than anything else. It's saying, God, I trust you with my provisions or the provisions that you've given me. I trust in your promises. I trust in your ability to give. You know, it's it's interesting that as Christians, we'll trust God with our eternity, but we struggle to trust him with what is temporal, our finances. Mm-hmm. And so first of all, it's trusting in him. The second thing I'd say is to get a plan together. We use something called the 8 money milestones. It's not the only plan that's out there, but it is a plan that we use. It answers the question, what financial step do I need to take next? It starts with generosity. Money milestone number one is generosity. Start giving. Why do we start there? Because the Bible starts there. It's not an Art Rainer thing. It's just we're looking at the Bible and saying, hey, this is where scripture starts. Yeah. So we need to start here. And then every milestone after that is there to either support or protect the priority. Otherwise, it's not a priority, right? And so the 8 money milestones can be found at christianmoneysolutions.com/free resources. So if they want to take a look at that, they can certainly do that. As a part of that, you need to build out what we refer to as a blueprint for mission. It's just a budget, but we like the term blueprint for mission because we believe God has entrusted us with resources for a purpose, for a mission. And so let's get money to that. And let's view our resources as part of the mission that God has allowed us to be a part of. And so start getting together a blueprint for mission or a budget. Oftentimes I'll hear that people are stressed, that they feel like their finances are out of control. Why? Because they are out of control. And so if you start following those 8 money milestones, you get the blueprint for mission together, then what will happen is that you will almost immediately feel some of the stress go down. Now, it doesn't right all your finances immediately, but you feel the stress start to go down. You'll feel more in control. Why? Because you're more in control at this point. You have a plan. You know what you're doing. And you start to realize, oh, this is just a season in my life. If I'm experiencing financial difficulties, it doesn't have to be the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. And I need to work through this season. And I can. And on the other end of it, we're going to be in a much better place. And so view this time as a season of financial difficulty that you have to work through. Work through the 8 money milestones and get to money milestone 8, which is to live more generously, because that's ultimately the motivation behind those 8 money milestones. So that's just a good place mm-hmm. for a person to start.
Right. And we will link to your website and resources. Is there anything else specific you'd like to point listeners to?
So we have a new book out. I wrote a new book, mm-hmm. A Money in the Light of Eternity. And it hopefully provides a biblical perspective on money. You know, why did God give you these resources to begin with? And how can you leverage it for his purposes and for a way that really fulfills your heart, right? That doesn't lead to discontentment, but leads to satisfaction. And once again, aligns with his plan and his purposes. So Money in the Light of the Eternity is a new book that just released. And so I would encourage listeners to go get that.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, we will link to all the goods, website, the book, everything in the show notes so folks that can check that out. Is there anything else, Art, that you would like to share with the Christian professionals who are listening in today?
If they find themselves in a situation where maybe they do need some financial guidance or, I don't know, inspiration, maybe that's the motivation, then of course I do have a podcast called More Than Money. Be happy for them to listen to that. That could be another good step. Can kind of motivate them to take whatever next step that they need to take in their finances.
Good. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Art, for joining us today to talk about this. Such a joy to have you on.
Well, thank you for having me. It's fun.